good. I want to welcome everybody to another service here at Omega Ministries, Dunamis Tabernacle, by way of live stream. I want to say hello to everybody. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far as we continue on in the journey toward home. You know, earth is not your home. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. So on your journey, hopefully you're transitioning and being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ on the way. So that's how it works. You go on the journey, and along the trail, you're changed from glory to glory, precept upon precept, line upon line. God reveals himself to you to transform you into his image, that he can fellowship with you and make your body his tabernacle. So it's all about change. If you're the same as you were last month, something is wrong. From year to year, you should see change in your life. You should see transformation from what you used to be and conformity to what God wants you to be. So it's a change. You never take a person and lock them up in a snapshot, because we're in a moving picture. You're changing. Every scene is different. What you were and what you thought last month is going to change. You know, you think you have truth a lot of times, and then you get revealed to you, you're in a delusion. So what do? You change. Don't stop the process. You know, a child believes a lot of things about themselves that's not true. The Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I lived like a child. But when I became full grown, I put away childish things. So it's all about change. You got to change in this all the time. All right, before we get going, I want to always give you a couple of books. This one here is a little short book, Soul Ties by Frank Hammond. Soul ties are very important. If you're tied to somebody through your soul, it can limit everything in your life. And this is a very short little book about soul ties. It's just 17 pages long, available on Amazon.com, I think for a couple of dollars, $2.99 or something cheap. But Soul Ties is a good revelatory book about what can be binding you that you don't know about. And the Bible reveals there are good soul ties and there are bad soul ties. You remember that David's soul was tied to Jonathan in love? That was a godly good soul tie. So all soul ties are not evil. As a matter of fact, the governing element in any given fellowship of believers is a soul tie between the believers. They're tied, the souls are tied together in what the Bible calls what? A like precious faith. When you believe the same thing as another person, it will actually yoke you together with that person. So when a foreign spirit comes in, everybody says, that's the wrong spirit, because the prevailing spirit in the atmosphere serves to be a safeguard against contrary, worldly, demonic spirits coming in. So when somebody's walking in a contrary foreign spirit, your spirit will know that's not the spirit of God. That's a foreign spirit. And, you know, the devil tries to creep in Job with the other angels. Did he really believe that no angel knew that he wasn't the right angel? He was wrong? He's creeping in with everybody else. Man, you're the devil. You're Satan. You're the fallen one. Go back. But, you know, you can't begrudge the devil for trying. And just like religious folk and people bound by demons, they try to matriculate into the body of Christ, and every time they end up capped off and frustrated, and after a while they drift away because the spirit thereof is not conforming to Christ, so they can't fellowship with the brethren. The Bible governs the body of Christ. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, governs the body of Christ. And a foreign spirit just cannot sell into God's spirit. It can't do it. It will normally find religious spirits to conform to and walk with them. And then the body of Christ is the enemy of religious spirits. And that's the way it's, God designed it like that. So this is one deal you can't fake. You can't act like and try to look like and pretend that you are. If you don't have the right spirit, it'll leave you out all by itself. This one testimony stands sure. And what's that testimony? The Lord knows those that are his. So you can't fake it. Soul Ties. The other book we're talking about today is the book that's been written by Maisha Hunter, but it's not in print yet, but it is available I know it's available on Kindle. Where else? Nook, iBooks. Where else? Google Books. And that's it. But so it's available through eBooks, Turning the World Upside Down. It's a basically a discourse on the homosexual spirit and how it operates. They're turning the world upside down by actually inverting the soul. Not converting the soul, but inversion of the soul is to flip the soul upside down so that you perceive fantasy as reality, to the degree that you even believe that you're a man trapped in a woman's body, or conversely, you're a woman trapped in a man's body. See, that's the inversion of the soul. Your soul has been inverted, flipped on its head, so now your perceptions about reality have been skewed. Turning the World Upside Down, a good book by Maisha Hunter, available now through eBooks. It'll be forging ahead into print as soon as we get the money. And we'll print it out and have it out there for sale. But it's just $5.99 on eBooks. So that's iBooks, Nook, Kindle Books, and Google Books. I got it this week off of Kindle Books, and I've been reading it. You can download it right onto your phone once you get the Kindle app put in. You can put it off Kindle. And, you know, Kindle Books is an Amazon.com book store. So you just pull it down, load it in your phone. And I've been kind of taking a few minutes every day and reading a few pages, putting it down, reading a few pages, putting it down. And when you're not using it, Kindle Books will stall it right on the page you left it at, so you just pull it back up again and keep reading. It's a good way to keep your mind. You got to do something nowadays to keep your mind off of this world and into some other realm, because the world is crazy. You got to do something to actually govern your mind, to keep your mind far away from this place, because this place is weird. So you want to keep your mind governed. So remember that, Turning the World Upside Down through eBooks by Maisha Hunter, and Soul Ties by Frank Hammond, available on Amazon.com. Okay, we're going to take up an offering real fast, then get into the Word of God. If you're giving by way of live stream, for some reason, people tend to watch on live stream, but it never crosses their mind to give a nickel. And they'll sit there saying, the sound has gone down on live stream. Why is the picture stalling? What is wrong? Is anybody else getting the sound? Have you ever considered giving a few dollars so we can get out of here and get a place established that we control the sound? Stop being a spectator and become a participator. Come on, man, turn your mind on. We're building an army, and you got to start an army with small pieces. Jesus started with 12 disciples, and the army expanded from there. So we're just laying groundwork for the army. God is not even launching an attack yet. He hasn't even gone into Normandy yet. So why not get into the foundation of the army and be a foundation person that the army is built on? You secure your spot in the army because, look, I was there right where the thing kicked off. I was in my tank, and I had my ammunition, and I'm a tank commander, and I'm in the army. Be a foundation person. If you're giving by live stream, www.omegaministries.org, click on support, then donate to give. Support, then donate. We're trying to get away from this world, all the way away from this world. See people economically get away from the world, spiritually, mentally, everything. To get up every day and just matriculate into the world and let them control your destiny is crazy. It's time to cut this off, get away from it, and let God's camp be built right over there. If you read Acts very carefully, there was a camp of the saints. And they weren't contingent on the surrounding arena to survive. They had set themselves apart as a called out elect people. And the Bible said to the degree that everybody went and sold what they had and laid it at the apostles' feet. And everybody had all things common. This was just the depiction of a community, common unity based on people giving everything over to God. They didn't give it to the apostles. They came and gave everything they had to God. And all he has to have is one thing. Your body is a living sacrifice. Everything else is already contained in your body. Give him your body and the deal is over with. This is not even hard. But as long as the world can keep the church tied up in the world and in the flesh, serving the devil knows I can sit back basically and laugh at you because you have no power. I control you because tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you must be commuting down the highway headed to my job. And when I get there, the workload will be heavy because we're requiring one thing, and that is less mortar, more bricks. See how they're trying to do more with less. And your supervisor's telling the managers, oh, I can get more out of them. We can drive them harder. We can no overtime, but drive them harder. Cut the benefits, and we'll drive them. So the devil knows if he limits your income, he limits where you can be, where you can go, and what you can do in the kingdom of God because you have no resources. I get crazy people contacting me. You know what they tell me? All the preachers need to get a job. And the body of Christ should not be paying preachers. You should just have a job. I know that's a clown that doesn't understand anything about ministry. If you knew the workload it takes to actually deal with people's lives and save souls and cast out devils, visit people in the hospital, marry people, bury people, the daily grind of ministry is very, very tumultuous. So a boob as a spectator trying to tell you how it ought to work. Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his hire. The apostle says, hey, if I minister to you spiritual things, shouldn't you minister back to the ministry, your carnal things, your physical things? You can't go and eat at McDonald's and expect to have burgers served to you, or whatever that stuff is, synthetic burgers served to you, and you don't have any money in your pocket. Everything in the physical world is governed by money. The Bible still says that money answereth all things. That's in the Bible. It's crazy. So what a person wants is what the government gives you. They want to be on welfare. You're supposed to be in the ministry laboring like a dog in servitude to people, and then the people don't get paid. We're not going to build a staff of ministers not getting paid. Are you crazy? But look how they flood right into the false and just pour money into the false. But if you stand up with the real, oh, see, the real ministry shouldn't be talking about money. There should be no mention of money. You're spiritual. And then you get false people who stand up saying, I've been ministering for years and I've never gotten paid. That's that self-righteous religious spirit trying to make you think they're such a weak and meek and lowly servant. And I live over here in this two-room shack without running water. I get my money from the creek out back. And I'm a servant of God. You know what that is? That's little pride. I'm more lowly than anybody. I'm more humble than anybody. Little pride is more ugly than big pride. Because I'm more humble and meek and lowly than all of you. I just wash the wounds of the lepers. That's all I do. And I serve the Lord. I live off of candy bars, popcorn, and a drink of water every other day. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You take your candy bars, your popcorn, and that sip of water you take every 2 days, and you go right over there and stay away from me. Poverty is not a blessing. Don't listen to that garbage. Seek the Lord. Get free in every aspect of your life. Stay in the middle of the road. That's what you got to do. So we're taking up offering real fast by the internet. Get off of the internet when this broadcast is over. Go to www.omegaministry.org. If you listen to this message later, go and type into your search engine, www.omegaministry.org, right there. It's right on your screen on your computer. Go to support and donate and give. Last thing, remember the conference we're having May 27th through the 29th next year, Memorial Day weekend, the Soldiers of Light Conference registration open now. Make your plans now. I think it's 60 people on the Facebook site saying they're coming with another I think it's about 70 people saying maybe. So you're looking at like 130, 132 people who are in the mix. So make your stand now. When you got 60 people coming, that means you got a lot of couples in there too. So 60 people is basically about 110, 115, 120 people. But we're sending out invitations to people. The world is hopeless. It's something in the people that are making them stand and look at it unfolding, thinking they can jump in at the last minute. You want the Titanic is going down. The lifeboats are filling. When you try to jump in, guess what? Sorry. You ever seen the movie The Titanic, the old version? It's a guy putting a boot in a guy's face. The lifeboat is full. You'll sink it. Get off. Get off. They're just kicking him. Get back. Get off. So it's going to be the last time, at last the end of time, when people are really running for their lives. Now the car's full. We got four people in the car and holds four people. Let me in. Get away from the car. That's how people are going to be. It's going to be life or death. The last stand. You're running for your life now. You're trying to make it in. You don't know anybody. Yeah, I've been married for 30 years. But it's every man for himself now. I got kids. I used to know them. I'm moving out now. You watch. Watch how people are going to be when the world begins to end and it begins to culminate. You're going to be outside the window just knocking on the window. The bus loaded. Come on. Come on. I'm just one person. And you're just taking off, leaving them. Because you're on your way out. It's the last leg of the journey. You're not looking back. Jesus said this. You better remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't turn back. When he calls you out of the world for the last time and the fire is scheduled to fall, you better get moving. And see, when you low running, see, black people good at low running. When you low running, black people low running, that's scary. When they start low running, that low running, running from the police, they done robbed somebody, that low running. Don't get in that person's way, they're going to run over you. Black folk can low run. When you start that low running, all you see them heels be telling them. Kicking themselves in the butt while they run. You don't want to get in front of them. Folk going to be low running at the end. So you better get in now while they're getting this good. The Soldiers of Light Conference, May 27th through the 29th, getting you a chance to start low running right now. Fellowship, prayer, praise, and most importantly, deliverance. We cast out devils. You got devils plaguing you, and the thing's been plaguing you for 50 years. Well, cast the devil out. We always go on a three-week fast before these conferences. Fast for 3 weeks, cut off the world, sanctify yourself unto God, and tell God, listen, I'm fasting with a purpose. I need my mind set free. I need my soul set free. I need my emotions set free. That's what the conferences are designed to do, to keep the body of Christ moving forward. Keep moving forward, away from the world, never to return again. May 27th through the 29th, Soldier of Light Conference. You can register right now. www.omegaministry.org. Click on news and then conferences and events. And once you click that link, it'll take you over to the Soldiers of Light Conference. And the registration instructions are very simple and easy to understand. So we're going to take up an offering real fast, get into the word, and keep it moving.
Spirit for us today.
A backup system today, so the internet is broadcasting over Ethernet today over a cable system, so hopefully the Wi-Fi is bypassed. It's been broadcasting okay there, so hopefully we got streaming going very well today. Hopefully nobody will get a break in the action over live stream. Also, we're backing up the recording I do here for the MP3 on our website. Tim is backing up that recording over the mixing board. So hopefully we got enough backups going on, and also we got a camcorder recording this broadcast, so if it goes down on live stream, we'll still upload a camcorder recording of the broadcast in its entirety, so it will still be there on live stream later, even if it were to go down here. But hopefully once we get a standing, stable location, all this stuff will be water under the bridge, because we'll have control of our own destiny. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on down here right now, and the world is basically in turmoil. It's just being pulled apart and torn apart by the devil's invasion. I mean, it's one thing after another the devil's trying to attempt to do in order to thwart what God is doing. And you got to really, at all times, be conscious of the fact that God is seeking to have a church that's been totally separated from the world. The world itself is a place where, you know, Satan is at work at all times, trying to find some kind of a way to undercut and undermine what God is doing. And people in the world right now, they hate the church with a viciousness, because the homosexual spirit has been loosed on the church. That's what's causing all the confusion. That homosexual spirit is just loosed on the church, trying to destroy everything in sight. And you got to know that thing is a vicious spirit, and it's ugly. It's always seeking to destroy something and undermine something and do in the church. That's what it lives to do. It lives to try to do in God's church. And Satan has worked overtime to actually, what Maisha talks about in her book, Turning the World Upside Down. He's inverted the souls of so many people that they actually see righteousness as unrighteousness, good as bad and bad as good, and wickedness is now seen as something that is righteous, which is absolutely crazy if you think about it. The devil looking at wickedness and trying to make wickedness righteousness. So you understand now, when you look at that, the devil is at work at all times trying to make you believe that, hey, I got this thing well in hand, and I'm doing what I want to do to people, and I'm making you acknowledge me, and I'm in control. It's garbage. The devil is always trying to work some mess out in his mind to undermine God's church. So you got to stay in a place of sanctification. You can't afford to be around people who are not sanctified. It's too many inroads made into the human mind by carnal minds that are actually just destroying people. You can't afford to let that happen to you. You got to let God do what he's doing through you and to you to actually separate you from that which is defiling to the human race. Religion is dirty. It's nasty, and it hates God. You got to know that. The religious spirit hates God. So it's at work trying to make you believe that, hey, somehow it's valid, but it's not. This is showing memory full. See if you can enter that memory. I don't know why I'm doing that. But it won't show a file anywhere in it. So that, you know, the devil's always working, trying to do something to you and to you to try to get you to actually get caught up in religion. Religion is filthy. A religious spirit is the worst spirit on this planet because it claims to represent God while standing against God. I'm going to show you this message today how the devil works to make people believe they're walking with God when in fact they despise God, hate God, but they try to supplant God religiously, trying to look like I'm serving God with an ulterior motive. You're talking about an unclean spirit? That's the most defiling spirit on earth. This is why we teach people, get your Bible, seek the Lord for yourself, get full of the Holy Ghost, and then personally represent God. That's your safety valve. I'm not looking to belong to some kind of collective group. I am a personal ambassador sent from God to do the work myself. So therefore, religious amalgamation and a religious environment does not accommodate me because I'm not looking to join the glee club. I'm not looking to join the sewing circle and be a part of some denomination. I'm here sent from heaven as an ambassador from Christ, so I don't need religious acceptance. That's your safety valve. As long as you're searching for some kind of a something to belong to give you identity in the seen realm, you are set up to be victimized. So you see how it works? I want to religiously belong to some group, and it's going to limit me and put me in place in my mind to make me believe that religious acceptance and belonging to this group somehow makes me a Christian. It's going to destroy a lot of people. And it's the trick the devil uses. You could come right here with a religious mind thinking there's something to join up with. And you're going to feel funny around people because nobody has anything for you to join up with. There's nothing to belong to. And that feels funny to religious people like, well, what are we going to do? Well, who are we? You need to do what God told you to do. What are you talking about? See, that mind is always looking for some kind of a something to operate in and something to define you. I told you if you get defined, you'll be confined. The Bible says you're like the wind. Wherever the wind listeth, that's where you blow. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow morning. So that undermines the devil's ability to do what? Control you and track you. He doesn't know what you're going to do because you don't know what you're going to do. Perfect safety valve. But a religious mind, all it does is watch you trying to understand how to be with you and what are we going to do and what are you doing and how are you doing it. And remember when the apostles showed up with power, the sorcerers? Where did you get this power? How do you have this? Let me buy this Holy Ghost from you. I'm trying to understand. He had a religious mind. Instead of getting my own, I'm looking at a person that's got their own, trying to understand how to siphon it off or try to emulate them. That's the religious mind. You got to get as far away from that thing as you can. Is it able to empty out? Is that emptying out to him? Mm-mm, it don't need one. It just said the memory full for some reason. But you recording it over there, right? It'll be good to go then. Okay, we just use that one. I'll figure it out later. Something happening to it, talking about the memory fool, but it shouldn't be. All right, let's pray and we get going for today. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you. Ask you to bless our minds. God, take us to another place in you that we can actually understand and know who we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and we look and see, and behold, all things have become new. God, that transition of the mind away from this world into the world that you created for us to live in is a dramatic exodus. Take us from what we were to what you'd have us to be, delivering us from this warped thinking of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is a warped mind. And we need total deliverance from depravity instituted in us by the carnal mind. Break us free from the enemy of God, as defined by Romans chapter 8, as the carnal mind. It's the enemy of God. We need to have that thing cast away and put to death once and for all, so that we might live according to the will and the desires of the living God. We give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're talking about self-idolatry. Self-idolatry. It's nothing worse than self-idolatry. Because you get into yourself, that's a deep ditch. Because you've been bound into your own thinking processes about yourself, and everything governing you and everything you think about is always comparative in nature. In other words, you become the standard and you judge everything according to your standard because you idolize self. So everything is always looked at from the point of view of self. That's ugly, man. That is very ugly, to walk around as some kind of a standard for the rest of the human race. And you hang around trying to determine what somebody else is based on what you define as appropriate. Now think about that. The Bible says you make yourself the standard and you excuse or accuse based on your own parameters for what's acceptable. Not God now. That's the very essence of self-righteousness. Everything is about me and what I say is right or wrong. And you know what you'll do? You'll walk around microscopically examining everybody else and what they're doing wrong or what they should be or they're not saved based on my evaluation of them. Why don't you get to God, get full of the Holy Ghost, and get some outflow going out of you and stop all the inflow toward you? There's not that much evaluation of everybody else. That's why you can't microscopically examine the environment forever. I mean, I know the stars in Hollywood are off. I know hip-hop is crazy. What do we keep looking at this for? I'm going to evaluate hip-hop forever. Jay-Z is probably not doing anything different today than what he did yesterday. So what are we looking at him for? Church has become reactionary. We just react to everything the devil does. He keeps you bound to his dictates. He's actually governing your responses by giving you a bunch of fluff. The devil exposes himself to get you reacting to him. You heard what you know what Lecrae said? You know what Bizzle said? Who cares? You keep responding to all this demonic filth that's religious, and here you are trying to evaluate it and put it forth as ministry. Why don't you get full of the Holy Ghost and proactively prosecute a war? Somebody else being wrong won't make me right. Think about it. I'm basing my righteousness on another person's sin. You saw the man in the Bible, right? I thank you, God, that I'm not like this publican. I'm not like this sinner. I'm not like this. Said another man came and beat upon his breast and said, what? Be merciful unto me, a sinner. I'm a mess. Help me. But the other person, the religious person, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm, man, thank God. You've got a pile of nothing. You got a pile of nothing. Because comparative thinking and self-righteousness will make a person believe me not participating in the sin with the rest of them makes me acceptable to God when it does not. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about, not about an evaluation of me. It's about Christ. It's only about Jesus Christ. The only one accepted back into heaven is the one that came from heaven. So he has to be organically grown out of me for me to be acceptable to God. Organic growth cannot be joined. Organic growth has to do what? It has to happen. See, if it hasn't happened to you, no matter how much you undertake a work of the flesh called emulations, you're still not saved. You just emulate external things thinking that's making you saved. Everybody raise their hands. I raise my hands. Everybody, you get false tongues, talking in false tongues. The person sitting next to you now is talking in tongues for real, and you're emulating them, trying to make, now what they just say then? Tama bota. Here come a Cadillac, Come a Ford, No, that's cars you naming, and you told me to tie your bow tie. Come a Cadillac. That's a GM car. That's a General Motors car, a Cadillac. Here comes a Cadillac. The devil will make you into a fool, emulating the environment, saying junk. They'll tell you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just say Jesus real fast. Say Jesus. And I say Jesus. You got it. Man, you'll go crazy in religion trying to emulate what they're telling you to do. You better get with God and get the Holy Ghost for real. Because in these last days, trying to fake it and trying to look like and act like is going to damn people's souls to hell. He's going to say to those people, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Religion draws hundreds of thousands and millions of people to it. The real gospel is exclusive. In that, you got to die to get in it. You got to die to one thing and be resurrected as another. You got to be organically birthed into it. That's the exclusion. If you have not been born again, you can't emulate salvation and try to pretend you have it because you don't. And you'll work to deceive yourself. There's nothing worse than self-deception. So we're dealing with self-idolatry. See, self-idolatry will misinterpret and confuse the very nature of the scripture and what it says. It's like a person telling you that, you know, anger is not right. God does not get mad. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus showed that he was angry. He got that strap. And the money changers were in the temple. And he took that strap, that whip, and beat everybody's behind with that strap. And he was mad. Why? You have turned my father's house into a place of larceny and a den of thieves, robbing these people. Money changers, what did they do? We went to Canada one time. We came back from Canada, and at the airport, you have money exchangers. You know what they do? They take Canadian currency and they change it over into American currency. But in the transition, guess what they do? They take a fee. That's what the money changers were doing. You came over here from Samaria to visit the temple, and you want to sacrifice a turtle dove. So you want to buy a turtle dove, but we don't accept your money here, so we're money changers. Give me $10 for the turtle dove you want to buy in your currency, and I'll give you back $8.75 in our currency. And you got, we make $1.25 on the transition. The transaction pays us $1.25. But you got your turtle dove and your money. So, you know, praise the Lord. And Jesus said, you become a den of thieves. You robbing these folk. You taking their money, beat everybody's butt with a whip, drove them out of the tabernacle in the courtyard there, and then told them, my father's house shall be called a house of prayer. Every edifice built to worship God is primarily a prayer house. Church buildings should be prayer houses. That's the number one thing it should be. A place for the multitudes to come to pray and seek the Lord. Everything else piggybacks in the Bible on prayer. You don't see God doing anything in the Bible outside of answering prayer. That's why he says men ought always to pray and not faint. You should pray always, lifting up holy hands, unstained hands, to God in prayer. Prayer is the driving force behind everything in the church. When Daniel prayed 21 days, the answer came. The angel said, I came because of your words. You were praying. God heard the prayers and dispatched an answer. 21 days to get here. Said the first day you prayed, I was dispatched, but I had to contend with the demonic forces in the heavenlies over you. There was a prince from Persia that stood against me because you're living under the Persian Empire, and the prince that governs the Persian Empire withstood me 21 days. And Michael the archangel was dispatched to help me war through the adversaries that stood against me. That's what prayer is doing. It's driving the spirit world. You just don't know it. We're under the auspices of a matrix. The matrix is a good depiction. The movie Matrix is a good depiction of the spirit world. You see how Morpheus called this man Neo into out of the world saying, hey, this is a virtual world governed by computers, and it's not real. How were you hooked into the matrix in the movie? They had cables hooked into your mind. As you lived in this suspended animation in this little tube, they hooked in terminals to your mind and took your mind and hooked it into the matrix, and you lived in a virtual reality. You thought you were living, well, all the time it was taking place in your mind and it wasn't even real. That is the best depiction of the devil's kingdom I can come up with. It's a mental kingdom. It's a virtual reality that is not real. But notice how when you came out of the matrix in the movie, you usurped time and space. You moved at supersonic speed. They could load kung fu into your mind, and you were a kung fu expert in the matrix. It was all in your mind. Because you came out of the matrix, you usurp the authority of the matrix. That's how you overcome the devil. You overcome the devil in your mind. He's forecasting a virtual world that's not real. Look at the cast of characters. Donald Trump. Your president's name is Hillary. Sitting around the table with world leaders, there's Joe, there's Frank, there's Ronald, there's Tommy. There's Rodney, and your leader, Hillary. What's the last name, Duff? Oh, with a bunch of thuggish, ruggish man like Putin standing there, and you step in as Hillary, trying to talk rough talk with these guys. It's an upside down, inverted world, the Matrix. It's perverted. They put cartoon characters out there for you to vote for. In the Matrix, they're out there happy with signs thinking, yes, you plugged into the Matrix. You're down here, Taylor Swift will make $365 million this year. She makes $1 million a day and can't even sing. Couldn't carry a note in a briefcase. $1 million a day. With parents taking the little girls to see Taylor Swift down at the concert halls. $365 million a day, a little young girl running around singing that off-key gibberish. It's the Matrix. I'm trying to show you how crazy the Matrix is. How could Jay-Z become worth $800 million? What does he do for a living? Who's pumping money into that? It's the power of the Matrix. So what's the greatest enemy of the Matrix? It's a virtual reality now, a virtual world. What would, by definition, be the greatest enemy of that Matrix? Huh? Truth. Truth and reality are synonymous. So if I stand here and tell the truth, guess what? Everybody bathed in the Matrix will do what? Oh, no. That's crazy what he said. That's foolish. That's insane, that mess he's talking about. Because they're bathed in the fantasy of the matrix. You see what it does to you? And so the matrix, by definition, has to make you conscious of self to fit into it. Because you're trying to define your place in the matrix. So it makes you self-conscious all by itself. So anybody that comes and brings a person to truth, they get offended because they belong in the matrix. Morpheus in the movie said, here's a red pill, here's a blue pill. You take the blue pill, you'll wake up tomorrow morning, everything will be normal, you'll go on your way and forget everything. Because you'll stay in the matrix. It'll be normal, you'll get up and commute to your little 10-cent job, work on the plantation all day, put money in your 401k, stop by Publix to get some chicken for the night, and you'll be all right. You'll go to the movies on Saturday, you'll go to the game on Sunday, you'll go to your job all week, wash your clothes and brush your teeth in the matrix, and it'll be normal to you with your mind hooked into virtual reality, thinking it's real. He said, if you take this red pill, you'll escape from Wonderland. And I'll tell you just how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember the first scenes of the Matrix? He was following a white rabbit. Remember that? What other character followed a white rabbit? Alice did. Down into the rabbit hole, and she came into Wonderland. And Morpheus told Neo, I'll show you just how deep this rabbit hole goes. Said the Matrix is deep. Fantasy is deep. When a person is fantasy stricken, the most shocking thing to them is the truth. And they'll look at you and tell you what? I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you told me that. It'll shock them so bad. It's like, I didn't think anybody would say something like that. Then you know what about religious people? They live in the matrix. So we have a tape out there on the internet, www.omegaministries.org, entitled The Magicians of the Matrix. Men and women ordained in religious parameters to make sure you stay in the matrix in your mind. Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, all these different folks have been called by the devil. Robert Shuler back in his day with the Crystal Cathedral, a cathedral made of crystal, now purchased by the Roman Catholic Church for $56 million to become a Catholic cathedral. Built to mesmerize people to do what? Keep them in the matrix. You ever driven to Disney World? As you approach Disney World, you see that big, huge castle with two big swans on it. It looks like you're actually driving into a fantasy land. It looks like Oz as you drive up to it. And they'll tell you, this is a land of make-believe and fantasy. You can feel the fantasy in Disney World. It's a matrix. The whole world, the Bible says, lies where? In the wicked one. Now listen to this. If he's a liar, he fabricates lies. See, a liar fabricates lies. They think of lies in their mind, they're telling them to you. And they fabricate the lies to control you. You believe the lie, and that ingrains you in the devil's kingdom. You believe the lie. And God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you don't receive the love of the truth, you will believe not a lie in the Greek, the lie. You believe the lie. And God will send you a strong delusion. How does he do that? He gives the devil access to you. And if you don't believe the truth, you will believe the lie. And you'll follow off behind religious lies, knowing you're right. And anybody telling the truth becomes your enemy. You hate them. Notice how everybody works overtime right now, trying to get you to believe what they believe, which is a lie. It's pounding people to believe this lie. Hebrew Israelitism. The black man is the real Hebrew. They're pounding folks with these lies. The devil knows that your adherence to the truth is your great escape from his control. So he tells lies all day. And the greatest threat to the Christian is not an absolute lie. It's when the devil mixes his lie with fabrics of the truth. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth. Outside the Holy Ghost, you're a dead duck. Because you can't even identify the lies of the devil. You'll fall prey to them. You'll take heed to them. And you know, you can always tell that kind of person. You know what they always do? They travel around looking for something new. Some revelation. Always going somewhere trying to find out some more data about the matrix. You watch them. Anything that talks about the matrix and time and space and here and now, that person will automatically gravitate toward it because they have not sold out to the truth yet. So they're still looking for something. And the Bible says the kingdom does not come with observation. The kingdom comes within you. We teach an infallible message. What's the message? You go get your Bible, turn your plate over, seek the Lord until you're full of the Holy Ghost, and then do the works of God yourself. That's infallible. You can't find a flaw in that message anywhere. Because it's not determined and dependent upon anyone else to get it done. If I seek the Lord for me, I got my personal interaction with God and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm obeying the Holy Ghost for me, I'm in. That's God's way of calling you out from the masses and making you a independently, self-contained, organically grown part of the body of Christ. And everybody like you, guess what? You can fellowship with them with no disparity because you're not a leech dependent on them and they're not a leech dependent on you. So we're going to walk together how? Freely. No yokes, no ties, no bindings, no junk. But a cripple, a leech, is always trying to suck the blood out of somebody. Did you not know the devil is a leech spirit? The devil cannot live independent of somebody else. He's got to leech off of somebody because he's not a living spirit. He's got to draw life because he has no life. So he lives to leech off of somebody all day long. But guess what? Leeches don't like this message. You know why? Because I'm accountable and responsible for me. I'm used to welfare and getting my check once a month and my food stamps and dropping one more baby so my check could go up. I got 25 kids. I'm going to have the 26th kid to get another check to live off you taxpayers. Hallelujah. The Lord blessing me. The Lord blessed me with another check. Fornicating. 25 kids by 25 guys and the Lord blessing you. Because you don't want to get off your lazy butt and do what you need to do to work. If a man does not work, he does not eat. A little folding of the hands, a little sleep, poverty comes upon you, the Bible says. So I lay up somewhere like the Waffle House. You know, the Waffle House, they never close, just like your legs don't. Dropping babies one after another to live off the land and other people that work hard every day. You're a woman, you're the Waffle House. Or Walmart. CVS. They got 24-hour day CVSs too. Imagine somebody making their living by having their legs open all the time, having sex and dropping babies. That's their livelihood. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids by 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys. Nobody can stay at your house because the government might find out he's staying with you. He got to creep out every night at 12 o'clock because people watching you. And I don't want them to find you living over here because I lose some of my money. So you make sure you go on by 11:30, Leroy. And don't keep your clothes over here. Keep your clothes in the car. Come by here, take a shower, and brush your teeth. And I'll cook you some chicken or some pork chops. And you get on up out of here before they see you. You mean before they see you? No, before they see you. Man, look, this is a mess. What is it in? It's in the matrix. It's life in the matrix, a make-believe pseudo-life, a virtual life that's not even real. And I'm living in it. I say that. What happens is a personal offense to somebody. Why? Because they're doing it. You see how truth is? When you're doing the thing in the matrix, when the truth comes and it hits you, I'm personally offended by what you said. Why? What did I say that wasn't true? I don't care if it's true. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you exposed that and said that. That's why people stay in sin, and that's why people go to hell. Because the truth becomes a personal offense. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the manifestation of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So the pathway into God the Father is the pathway of truth. You want to get close to God? Abide in the truth. 3 John talks about, hey, there's no greater joy than to find out my children abide in the truth. You got to stay in the truth, man, to make it into this. That's why all lies and fantasies are fabricated by the devil to make sure you don't make it. That's a shame. This clear now? What was wrong with it? Huh? Oh, okay. And that's a tragedy when you got that kind of a mess going on and the devil just sitting there living it up at your expense. And there you are, man, trying to make it, trying to do, trying to live, trying to do. And the devil living off of you in the matrix. And you don't even know he's living off of you, leeching off of you. Living at your expense, all because you hate the truth. The devil's a dirty dog, man. And that's why you don't want any part of that fool, because he's dirty and low down. Satan is a dirty, unclean spirit. He lives off other folks all the time, and that's his existence at your expense and my expense. He has to live off of somebody else because he has no ability to live his own independent, unattached life. He's a leech because he's a dead spirit without the Holy Ghost. When people don't have the Holy Ghost, watch how they just cling on to folk and try to live off of them. When you got that self-contained dynamo in you, you walk around home free. Because if another person goes away or dies, it has no impact on you because I got a self-contained dynamo that's driving me. I'm not contingent on anybody else's fuel supply. I got the fuel supply inside of me. That's the life you're looking for. Self-idolatry. Let's take a look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Self-idolatry is an ugly mess. And it comes from life in the matrix. I'm into myself so deeply that the world revolves around me in the matrix. All I think about is me, my, and I. There are three people I'm concerned with, me, my, and I. That's it. I don't see anything past me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at the catalyst behind everything happening on earth right now. He says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times are here. They're trying to steal your stuff. My wife told a story the other day of a lady who came out of a store, guy put a gun in her stomach and stole her pocketbook and ran away. Lady said, I had $2,000 in my purse and he stole my pocketbook. She jumps in her car, drives after the guy and runs him over, knocking him on the ground, and a crowd of people almost beat the guy to death taking that woman's purse. Beat him down to the ground until the police came. I said, good. Because there's nothing worse than somebody taking your stuff. Let your house or your apartment be burglarized. That's a bad feeling, man, when somebody takes your stuff. You work every day, you work hard for what you have. And for some nasty, low-life scumbag to take your stuff. It's pitiful. It's good she ran them down. It's good they beat him down. Because everybody in today's society, 2015, everybody has an equal chance to go through high school, matriculate into college, get their degree, get stable employment and have their own. But you sit there like a two-bit bum, smoking dope and drinking liquor and whoring around. And now you sit there 25, 30 years old with nothing, want to put a gun in a woman's belly and take her stuff. Who's working all day for you to take their stuff from them? I got no problem with somebody defending themselves and shooting somebody. Why don't you go get your own? You see the dictates of a selfish leech? A leech is always looking for the easy way out and trying to couch it in religion. You're just a lazy bum. Get up off your lazy butt and do what's necessary for you to be sustained and for you to also sustain the body of Christ, because you're part of a living organism. And everything in that organism, the Bible says, joints and ligaments supply the life of the organism. Selfishness is a leech spirit. It's a leech. It won't do anything, but it's looking to be carried down the road. I tell these young guys, don't marry a leech. Find a woman that is already on her way doing things for herself, getting her education, productive, she has her own, and now you get together and you got a companion that's not dependent upon you. You don't want to marry some empty-headed leech that's dependent upon you for everything. Do you have anything? Have you written a song? Have you written a poem? Can you play a musical instrument? Have you done anything? What have you accomplished? Well, I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night. Don't get involved with a leech as a young man. Find the girl that's in church that doesn't need you, that's getting their own, moving through society and through the system, positively and proactively doing what she needs to do. Then you can get together with somebody. Everybody knows 1 + 0 = what? 1. 1 + 1 = 2. So you multiply and advance yourself by joining somebody that's whole. You can't join with a zero and add to yourself. That is the same thing for a woman. Young girls are torn up about this. They get the most beat up, stank, no good, low life, scumbag dude you can find and talk about this, my boyfriend or my fiance. You're looking at this joker like, what is his plan? Where is he going? Does he have a car? Well, he has 2 pairs of Jordans. Driving around in your car, eating your food, coming by your place. And they're so afraid to be by themselves because they know that the piggins are real thin. So young girls are jumping on the first train coming through because it's real thin piggins out here, preacher boy. And I got to get the first thing coming through because there ain't many men out here. Well, that thing you're with now is not a man. Pants pulled down to his knees, walking around looking crazy. I would be ashamed to see this joke in public. But they lower their standards because they think it's not enough guys around. And any guy saying anything to me, I got to accept him and go with him because there's too many homosexuals down here. There's nothing worse when you see women sitting in a room with homosexuals up front telling you about their homosexuality and the young girls applauding them. And I'm looking at the girl thinking, you realize now you're getting ready to die 60 years old with a barren womb with nobody because of that joker right there talking to you. Tyler Perry, you're applauding him and he's your worst enemy. Because he's feeding the homosexual spirit, making the men into homosexuals. Any guy that stands with a homosexual is standing against women. You can't have a best friend that's a homosexual. He's there to undermine you, destroy you, contaminate you and any guy that's around. He's trying to convince that guy to be what he is. He's trying to sodomize your son. and the young women so brainwashed by the matrix, they're there applauding a man that actually accommodates homosexuality, assuring themselves a life of depravity and loneliness because now all the guys are homosexuals. And you got nobody. You got no kids. You got nothing to look forward to in life because you applauded and stood in agreement with that which the devil sent to destroy you. And you applauded it, saying amen to it and shouting about it. You're a member of the Rainbow Coalition and the Rainbow Movement and claim to be a heterosexual woman. There's no heterosexual woman that will stand with homosexual men. It won't happen. How is that your friend? How are they planning your wedding for you? Why are you going on trips with them like they're your best buddy? Notice how all these reality shows, all these reality whores run with homosexuals. Because a homosexual and a whore is the same thing. They're both sent to destroy a man. A homosexual and a whore are both sent to destroy a man. That's why they become such close friends. Because they're on the same mission sent by the devil to do the same thing. See, our truth makes everybody offended. Why you want to say that? I'm a woman and I got homosexual friends. Well, you need to get rid of that whore spirit. See, I don't like that either. Why you want to call? I didn't call you anything. If the shoe fits, you got to wear the shoe. Cinderella. It's the way it goes. So see, people want to just go around. We're not going around anything. We're not going around anything. We're going right to the thing. A spade is still a spade, not an agricultural instrument. Call a spade a spade. Look what he says. Perilous times are going to come. Why? 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 The word for lets you know this is the reason next. Perilous times are coming because men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love is the doorway to perilous, dangerous times. All I think about is me at your expense. I don't care what happens to you. It's about what I can get out of the deal. I could care less. Prosperity preachers don't care about your welfare and your well-being. All they care about is that new Bentley they're ordering or that new Gulfstream G6 jet. You got the audacity to stand in front of a room of people talking about you getting a $65, $70 million jet. That person is so bathed in self that they don't even see they're a lunatic. You're insane. Asking these poor, downtrodden people for a $65 million jet, talking about you needed to preach the gospel, when Delta, United, and Spirit Airlines fly us everywhere. And what they miss, Southwest will pick up. Why would you need a $65 million jet to preach the gospel? You're a moron. And the people that believe it have been bathed in a moronic spirit, and you're now their pope and their pimp. And they're so deep in the matrix, they can't even see they're being made a fool out of and get offended at me for bringing it up. Or you just envious of him because you're not as successful as he is in the matrix. It's nothing worse than somebody that will defend their own destruction. They're trying to actually defend the person that's destroying them and stand with them against you. That's how pimps do prostitutes. Prostitutes will fight you to the death over that pimp. And a pimp doesn't even like women. If he liked you, he wouldn't turn you out on the street like a dog. He hates women. A pimp is a homosexual spirit. Just like a prosperity pimp is. The governing element in these liars' lives is the homosexual spirit. That's why they do what they do. That's Jakes, that's Osteen, that's Dollar, that's all of them. They're governed by a homosexual, self-loving spirit. That's what's making them like what they are. You see what Eddie Long was? That was a homosexual spirit running game on whores. Pimped out whores, jumping around in the church, listening to a magician of the matrix, keeping them in captivity because they're into themselves. Everybody there is into themselves, led by a selfish person that thinks nothing about another person's well-being. Men are lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without what? Natural affections. Natural affections. That word in the Greek is astargos. What does it mean? They're hard-hearted. They can't feel anything that's germane to compassion or sympathy or empathy. They don't have natural affections. They're hard-hearted.